Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we come before you, we open our hearts, we open our ears, let us also open our eyes. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. We continue the passage from verses 38 through 44. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they too, so they may believe that you sent me." Then he said this. He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever wished that something had turned out differently than the way that it did? When was the last time that you asked, "If only"? How many times was that question asked by those who lost loved ones on 9/11? If only my husband had stayed home sick that day. If only my daughter hadn't gone on that flight. If only I had told her that I loved her one last time. Life is filled with many such regrets in the face of tragedy. Often these sort of regrets are a result of our pain or trial. How many times after a car accident have we run through the events leading up to that accident? If only I had left 15 minutes earlier. If only that car wasn't in such a rush. If only the road wasn't so slippery. When I was 18, I remember passing by an automobile accident between an automobile and a motorcyclist. The fire trucks, ambulance, and police were there on the scene. The motorcyclist was in bad shape and was placed in the ambulance. I remember seeing the young man who had been driving the car with his head in his hands sitting on the curb as a first responder tried to sit by and console him. Now, I didn't witness the accident. I don't know who was at fault, but I am sure that young man wondered, "If only." I realize watching that scene how everything in our lives can change in the blink of an eye. Some say that life is too short for regrets. They have this illusion of living a life without regrets. This is often epitomized in Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way." Well, Frank Sinatra is dead. Are those the words that he will stand and say before his God, before his Lord and Maker? "I I would hope that we, as God's followers, would say before God, we did it your way. Is it possible to live a life without regret? I don't think so. Sometimes regrets are caused by our own actions. But other times regrets are caused by the actions of others. Did Jesus regret calling Judas as one of his disciples? I would have to believe that he was deeply saddened by Judas's actions, even though he knew that there was a part of a greater plan. Sometimes regret is caused by forces outside of our control, such as a natural disaster. I think about those who were affected this weekend by tornadoes down in Mississippi and Alabama. To live life as a compassionate individual means to experience regret. And to not experience regret means to be in total control of our situation and environment. And this is simply not possible. In the story of Lazarus, his death and miraculous return back from death, we find sisters Martha and Mary wondering, if only. At seeing Jesus, they both respond identically, "Master, if only you had been here, then my brother wouldn't have died." We can hear their great grief over losing their brother. Many of us have experienced such grief in our own lives as we have grieved the loss of our loved ones. We could also understand a little bit of the accusation which is in Mary and Martha's statement, as if to say, "Lord, why didn't you come when we summoned you? Why didn't you come and save our brother?" We would find it inexcusable if a doctor delayed his appearance 2 days and as a result our loved one passed away. The situation begs the question, why did Jesus delay? Did he not care about Lazarus or Mary or Martha? But the scriptures tell us that he cared deeply about them. This is not our first encounter with this family. We are told that Mary was the woman with the alabaster jar who lavishly poured perfume upon Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. We also remember the story of the hard-working Martha, angry at her sister for lounging at Jesus' feet, where Jesus lovingly reminded Martha that there are more important things in life. When Jesus is summoned to help the dying Lazarus, Lazarus is described as a man that Jesus loved. And when he sees the great grief of Mary and those who loved Lazarus, Jesus weeps. Jesus cared very deeply for this family. So why did he wait? Previous to this account, we find that the Pharisees and Jewish authorities attempted to stone and arrest Jesus. By the power of God, Jesus narrowly escaped from their clutches Jesus then retreated across the Jordan River. Bethany, where Lazarus lived, was only 2 miles from Jerusalem. If Jesus hadn't returned immediately back to Jerusalem, there would have been a good chance that he would have been arrested on the spot. Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. But he knew that there was a greater plan at work, that God was orchestrating something very special. Two days later, when he informed the disciples that he was returning back to Bethany, the disciples could not believe their ears. Why would he now choose to return back into this hornet's nest? Teacher, replied the disciples, the Judeans were trying to stone you. Surely you do not want to go back there. But Jesus replied to them, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him now. Jesus knew there was a greater purpose. And so with his return to Bethany, although others were unaware, Jesus began his fateful trek into his own rejection, into his crucifixion, and into his death. It was there that Jesus chose that he would die. When Martha heard that Jesus had come, she went out to meet Jesus. Now, Martha is often portrayed as the less faithful of the two sisters, the one worried about more earthly matters. Yet here we see the incredible faith of Martha. She was the first to go out to Jesus, not Mary. And although there must have been some wonder in her mind why Jesus hadn't come, her statement is uniquely faithful. For she says, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. To which she replies, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said to her. Those who believe in me, even though they will die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. The other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have Peter confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But in the Gospel of John, it is Martha, a woman of great faith, confessing Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. I cannot emphasize how unique this is and incredible. In a male-dominated society such as Judea in the time of Jesus, to have a woman declaring such a statement, one would never make up such a story. Yet here it is. It is Martha instead of Peter who confesses Jesus as the Christ. In response to Martha's regret, Jesus calls Martha to have faith in him. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Life has regrets. We cannot wish away the past. But in Jesus Christ, we can do something about our future. Jesus does not promise us a perfect life free of pain, free of grief, free of tragedy. We will go through trials. We will suffer, just as Martha and Mary had suffered. But what Jesus promises to Martha, he also promises to each of us. He promises himself. He promises that he will be with us in the midst of our pain and our grief. He weeps alongside us. And through him, we will know God. And because of his resurrection, we too will have new life. This is the good news given to each of us. Friends, Jesus is with us in the midst of our regrets. But he does not leave us there. Next time that you find yourself saying, if only, when you find yourself wanting to change your past, ask yourself, how would my life be if only Jesus hadn't returned back to Jerusalem? If only Jesus hadn't been betrayed? If only Jesus hadn't suffered humiliation? If only Jesus hadn't died on the cross? If only he hadn't been resurrected on the third day? Life is hard. But through Christ, we no longer have to be lost in our regrets. In Christ, our past has been made new. It has been rewritten. So too, Christ calls each of us from the tomb of our past. He calls us from despair into new life. Lazarus was not the only person who arose that day. Martha was given back her brother, but she was also given so much more. She was given a Christ, one who would die for her and for the world, one who is truly the Son of God. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." In Jesus Christ, we have been unbound. All praise, glory, and honor be to him, the one who calls us from regret into new life. Amen.